Welcome to the Business, Finance, and Facilities meeting for December 2nd. It is 10:02. Angela, can you please take roll?
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Vice Chair Del Carlo. Here. Regent Boylan. Regent Brooks. Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Tarkanian. She is here. She's on video right now.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko.
Any public comment in Reno?
There is none in Reno.
Thank you. Any public comment in Las Vegas? Do we have any written public comment?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, on to item number 2, consent agenda. Are there any questions, concerns? Is there a motion? A motion from Chair Del Carlo.
Second.
Second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 3, fiscal year 2021-2022 NCHI state-supported operating budget. That would be Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer. So the report before you is the state operating budget for fiscal year 22. I would direct your attention to page 15 of the report. Which is a summary of the revenue for fiscal year 22. And really just wanted to point out that when you look at the budget for fiscal year 22, the state budget, it's a little over $1 billion. But as this board will remember, part of the way that is balanced, and you see that under the other revenue sources there, is with $46.6 million in American Rescue Plan funds that were allocated from the state. So when you look at the top line on there on page 15 and you look at the state funding, you can see compared to the original amount appropriated in fiscal year 21 of $694 million, that number for fiscal year FY22 drops to $637 million, and part of that is made up with the $46.6 million in ARP funds. Now, just to remind the committee, we faced $83 million per year in cuts in the governor's budget. The $46 million was restored, but there still are outstanding cuts that have yet to be restored in these budgets, and that's reflected in here currently. We do obviously have a request in for additional funds through the treasurer's office process, but those have not been allocated yet, so this does not reflect those. And with that, Chair, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Chair Del Carlo, did you have a question? All right, thank you. Thank you, CFO Klinger. Do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 2021-2022 NCHI state-supported operating budget? Chair Del Carlo, is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 4, fiscal year 2020-2021, self-supporting budget to actual and fiscal year 2021-2022, self-supporting budget. CFO Klinger.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer. So what's before you is the FY21 budget to actual for the self-supporting accounts and then the FY22 budget for self-supporting accounts. And the self-supporting accounts are the non-appropriated, so no state funds. These are accounts that are established for specific activities and programs that are approved by the board. We budget for accounts according to the procedures and guidelines manual with activity of $250,000 or more. Now, these budgets don't include grants and contracts and endowments, which are restricted funds, but this is all other self-supporting funds. And what I will say about this report, and I know it's 109 pages of a lot of tables and a lot of detailed information about these accounts, and I've had this conversation with the chair about ways to make this information more useful. While we certainly want to be transparent and present all the data, I think without context around it, it's a little difficult for really anybody to understand this, even somebody who's a fiscal expert. So we are working on and will bring to this committee next year some changes to this report that will hopefully present it in a more summarized way with some narrative to help give the committee some context on some of these budgets. Because looking at 109 pages of nothing but tables and tables of numbers is not the most useful report for the committee, and I recognize that. So,
thank you, Mr. Klinger. Did you have a question? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I have a comment. More than the 109 pages is that the amount of staff time that takes, and I'm a firm believer that, especially if it's not, I don't know what the amount of people are that look at it. 109 is overwhelming for me. I'll just be very honest. I do much better with a narrative that I can read to get the salient point. So knowing our resources are always limited and we've got a lot of open positions, I really appreciate the fact that you're going to take that and free up your staff to where they can do more meaningful work. So thank you.
Yeah, and Regent Del Carlo, I appreciate the comment, because in discussing the amount of time it takes to put this report together, just on my staff, and that there's a lot of time that's spent on this on the institution side as well, but just the amount of time it takes my staff to put this together is about 750 hours, which is, that's a lot of hours for a report that, while it has a lot of information, again, it's that context and how useful is that information.
Thank you, Chair Corbala. CFO Klinger, is that report, is that a report that goes to the legislature, to the interim finance? I mean, I wouldn't want to ever take something away from them that they need, but...
Regent Del Carlo, great question. It doesn't go to them specifically. I mean, we make all of these reports available, to the legislature and to the public on our website. And occasionally we do get requests from them specifically for information out of here. And we will always maintain the detailed reports. But really, as staff, I see our responsibility as providing this committee with information to help you digest that 109 pages of information. So that's the piece we want to work on.
Thank you for those questions, Chair Del Carlo. And thank you, CFO Klinger, for the explanation on that. I think that it is very important to have context around the information that we have. There's a lot of data there. And as a lay board, we need to understand that information more in a useful way. Not that this isn't useful, but in a way that we can digest it. So I really appreciate the look at this. Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 21 self-supporting budget to actual and fiscal year 22 self-supporting budget?
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. So I have a motion from Regent McMichael and a second from Regent Tarkanian. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 5, first quarter fiscal year 2021-2022 fiscal exceptions. CFO Klinger.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer, and I will just highlight some of the fiscal exceptions for the first quarter. The first is for UNR. The ASUN Wolf Shop reported a deficit of $1.5 million in the quarter. The accumulated deficit from prior operations reflected in the report will be paid down from a portion of the revenues generated in the new contract, as well as revenues generated from the sale of inventory. Quarterly transfers will occur over the fiscal year that will reduce the deficit by up to $1 million. ASUN estimates the entire deficit will be eliminated by the end of fiscal year 24 or 25. In UNR Athletics, they have reported a deficit of $2.2 million. The $2 million negative beginning balance is a carryover from fiscal 20's COVID impact due to game cancellations, as well as large NCAA and Mountain West distribution reductions. UNR has earmarked up to an additional $2 million in FY22 in the event of further impacts. On to the UNLV School of Medicine. They've reported a deficit of $2.4 million. This deficit represents 4 months of outstanding invoices. Part of this amount, $259,000, is currently in dispute, and the vendor has withheld the payment until the dispute amount is resolved. UNLV Thomas and Mack has reported a deficit of $2.8 million. Summer League revenue has not yet been cleared from their clearing accounts, which will reduce the deficit. In addition, more events have been scheduled since the beginning of the new fiscal year that were not included in the budget, so that will help that deficit as well. And then finally, the CSN dental faculty practice has a deficit totaling $642,710 at the end of the first quarter. A second dentist was hired at the end of June. During this quarter, he has assisted in increasing the production by over $57,000. And once he is fully credentialed, his production is projected to increase to $50,000 a month or $42,500 in revenue per month. Based on current trends, the department projects a positive balance beginning in September of 2025. And that concludes the report.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Are there any questions or concerns from the committee on this report? Regent Geddes, yes.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I had a question on the ASU and Wolf Shop, and I was just curious, with the pandemic and people not being on campus much, how that income that was built into the contract may impact that repayment schedule?
Mr. Redding, thank you for being here and addressing that.
Good morning. Thank you. For the record, Vic Redding, Vice President, Administration and Finance, University of Nevada, Reno. Regent Geddes, as of right now, with the return to full campus operations this fall, things are looking good. However, using an abundance of caution, we approved the $100,000 transfer for that first quarter. Should operations remain robust like they were through the fall semester and there's no hiccups with on-campus operations in the spring semester, I anticipate they'll be able to make larger payments through the second, third, and fourth quarter of this year. But we are holding back on those right now just to make sure the year ends as stable as we expect. But right now, with the volume this year, we're right on target.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Redding. Any other questions regarding the first quarter fiscal year 2022 fiscal exceptions? All right, that's information only. Item number six, first quarter fiscal year 2021-2022 budget transfers, state supporting or self-supporting operating budgets. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Chief Financial Officer Andrew Klinger, We have one item to report for this quarter. System Computing Services reported a transfer of $550,000. SCS moved institutional support funds into the functional area operations and maintenance and plant to address fiscal 22 utility services for the SCS Las Vegas office. And that was the only transfer we had to report this quarter.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Any questions on this item? That is information only. Moving on to item number 7, building name request, William N. Pennington Health Science and Technology Building. And this is presented by President Hellens.
Chair Carvalho, I'd like to recognize Vice President Sonia Seibert, who has so tirelessly worked on this project, and ask her, invite her to present on it.
Good morning. For the record, Sonia Seibert, Vice President for Business Affairs, Great Basin College. A year ago, you approved this building project, and I'm excited to report that the building is moving along rather rapidly, and we've seen no issues with the supply chain that many of you have experienced in your daily lives, so that's great. We've had about a week of weather delays, which was anticipated this time of year in northern Nevada, but we are scheduled to be completed in April of 2022. With the grand opening and dedication on June 10th, 2022, after the conclusion of the Board of Regents meeting in Elko at GBC. And at this time, we are requesting that we are able to honor the generosity of the William M. Pennington Foundation toward this project. They donated $8.3 million of a project that has an approximate cost of $10 million. We would like to name that building the William N. Pennington Health Science and Technology Building. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Seibert. Are there any questions or concerns regarding this agenda item? I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay. So I have a motion from Chair Del Carlo and a second from...
Second.
Thank you. From Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 8, purchase of real property located at 4350 South Maryland Parkway. And this is for possible action. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carvalho. Today, UNLV is requesting approval for the purchase of 4350 South Maryland Parkway, which is the property directly south of the NC System Administration Building. The property is currently owned by the Clark County Public Education Foundation and is 2.21 acres with approximately 37,000 square feet of building. Currently, it's being used as office and warehouse space. The interior of the building received a major renovation in 2014. And the property also includes an existing cell tower and lease that would be assigned to UNLV, and the annual revenue from that lease equates to approximately $18,174 a year. If the purchase is approved, we plan to relocate the UNLV Education Outreach Office from its current location at the Paradise Campus to this property. UNLV is also currently evaluating rent concessions or space partnerships with the Public Education Foundation so that we can more closely align our missions of promoting educational improvement and achievement. With that, we respectfully request your approval and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. My CFO, Gene Vock, is here, and also someone from the Public Education Foundation, I believe, is here as well.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Are there any questions or comments regarding this sale?
Could I ask, so far, what has been the meaning on this from the foundation? In other words, are they in favor? Are they concerned that they might be losing space they need?
President Whitfield.
Can you repeat the question for me?
Regent Tarkanian? Thank you. Can you repeat that?
I'm asking the question of the disposition of the Public Education Foundation towards selling this land. And I'm wondering if you've already taken it to them. Have you talked with them? Do you have any idea?
Let me have our CFO and I apologize. Thank you. Bach, push the mic.
Sorry. Okay. For the record, Jean Bach, I'm the CFO for UNLV, and with me is Rich Broom, who is the CEO for the Public Education Foundation. Regent Tarkanian, if I understand your question correctly, is the question about whether or not the Public Education Foundation has adequate space or is comfortable with the sale?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I'd like to turn that over to Rich Broom, who's the CEO of the foundation, because they approached us and he could speak to that.
Thank you, Jean. Regent Tarkanian, thank you for your question. Rich Broom, CEO of the Public Education Foundation. Our board has approved this transaction and the partnership with UNLV. We currently occupy about 4,000 to 5,000 square feet of our 37,000 square foot building. And we had actually been looking for tenants who could come in and partner with us as well as help offset some of the costs of that. So we didn't need all the space we had, and we're looking for ways to offset that. In our discussions with UNLV about a partnership, at first we were talking maybe about them renting space, and we came to the conclusion that a purchase made most sense for both the foundation and for UNLV, and we plan to relocate onto UNLV campus where we have already worked out our space needs. So for us, this is a win-win, and we look forward to a long-term partnership with the university as well as having more than adequate space to conduct our business.
Okay. I thought that the foundation was chaired by the committee from the school district, but now what evidently has happened is it's been changed.
I'm not clear on the question. Yeah. Is there a question there?
If I understand the question.
I was very involved. The purchase and the use of the foundation, and I was just interested in where they were going at this time. But I know it's complicated, so what I'll do is I'll just talk with the people on that board. And I thank you for trying to answer my question.
You're welcome, Regent Tarkanian.
Thank you for being here today and answering these questions for us. And thank you for the question, Regent Tarkanian. I appreciate it. Are there any other questions regarding this sale? I will entertain a motion to approve the purchase of the property at 4350 South Maryland Parkway.
Motion to approve.
So moved from
second.
Regent McMichael, second from Regent Tarkanian. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 9, purchase of real property located at 4530 South Maryland Parkway, Run-In Rebel Plaza. President Whitfield.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carvalho. Maybe seeing a bit of a rhythm here. Yes, another purchase for another piece of property on Maryland Parkway. UNLV is requesting approval to purchase 4530 South Maryland Parkway, which is located in the Running Rebel Plaza across from our campus. The property is approximately 2.6 acres with 38,000 square feet of space comprising 13 retail spaces that are currently 100% occupied. UNLV currently owns the three surrounding properties, and if all four properties are combined, as you can imagine, they would then create a space that's about a 5.3-acre parcel for future development and future opportunities for our expansion. If the purchase is approved, the property would operate as is in the short term until current leases expire and UNLV can analyze future land uses. With that, we respectfully request your approval and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions? I have one question, and I see Mr. Wixom here and he may be able to assist us with this as well. I'm just curious, what is the length of the longest lease that's currently on this location?
Thank you for the record, Michael Wixom, special counsel to the board for real estate matters. I believe that the longest lease at this point in time is a 20-year lease. I will ask Mr. David Frommer. I know he's evaluated, pardon me for passing that football, but I know Mr. Frommer has evaluated all the leases. I believe the lease with the longest term is approximately 20 years. There are the other leases will expire at a shorter period of time.
Good morning. Thank you, Regent Carvalho. For the record, David Frommer, UNLV Associate Vice President of Planning, Construction, and Real Estate. The longest lease is the Chipotle pad site. The base lease expires in 2023, but they do have four additional five-year extension options to exercise, and I think we would expect that it's very likely that they would exercise those options.
So if you have intentions to build I don't know what future development may look like on this location, but would you build around this, or would you hopefully negotiate with them to incorporate these tenants into the new development?
Regent Carvalho, thank you for the question. Again, David Frommer. I think that's a bit of an outstanding question in terms of our redevelopment plan. Certainly, this provides a tremendous opportunity for a site that goes from Harmon to the north down to Del Mar to the south with all Maryland Parkway frontage. I think there's a variety of alternatives that we'll probably look at related to whether that site remains and we might improve the site around that, or whether there's an opportunity to redevelop the land and incorporate that tenant into a new development more in an inline approach of retail or other options. So I think we're kind of open-minded about how that might work, and we definitely want to, you know, visit if we were to own the property with the current tenants, talk about their long-term plans and see what might be beneficial and feasible for both of us.
And let me just add to that that the purchase of that land and then the purchase of these other pieces are really going to activate South Maryland Parkway. It's going to make it look different. So I think much to Dave's point, they may look at how they sit, where they sit differently, and we may have a different plan that we might be able to offer them once we actually put all of that together.
Thank you. I appreciate the willingness to work with our neighbors on Maryland Parkway. I certainly wouldn't want to put any businesses on the street per se. So I think it's great that you're working with them, and hopefully if they want to stay, that we can offer them a place or work with them in ways that would benefit both. So thank you very much.
Regent Carvalho, if I may, just Michael Wixom again for the record.
Yes.
We've been working closely with UNLV, Mr. Frommer's office, with Elda Sadu, General Counsel at UNLV, and with the system to ensure that everything that we do over the next few months as we move forward with the transaction is consistent with system policy and procedures. And so as we go forward, I just want to assure the board that we're conscious that it's an unusual acquisition in that sense. It's a strategic acquisition, but we're going to take great care to make sure that all that's done is in accordance with board policies and procedures and whatever adjustments that we need to make to give the board assurance that everything is appropriate there.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Wixom. Chair Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I was just going to say the same thing you said, Mike, is that this is really a strategic acquisition. And this whole process of buying property, President Whitfield, reminds me of where you and ours been. I mean, we had the footprint of the campus, and we just kept expanding it out to the neighborhoods, and they've done a marvelous job and your campus is really growing, and your student population is, I mean, this is our fastest growing area in the whole state. So, I mean, kudos to being, having the foresight to go find these pieces. And thank you to the Public Education Partnership, too, to come to us. And it's great, because we're going to need these buildings as we move forward.
Yeah, thank you for that point. And just to put an exclamation point, it's the same thing Mr. Wickham said and what you're getting to, Vice Chair Del Carlo, or Chair Del Carlo and Vice Chair Carvalho. We see this as this is improving our neighborhood and that working with those different groups, those different entities, to make sure that they actually have a chance to flourish more with our expansion, not, you know, eminent domain or something like that that we take over. We actually are doing this so that we can not only improve our university, but improve our community that's there.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Certainly agree with you on that. So this is for action. Do I have a motion to approve this sale? Motion from Chair Del Carlo. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Item 10, request to expend capital improvement fees for UNR. President Sandoval.
Good morning, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Del Carlo, members of the committee. For the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. Item 10 is a request for approval of an expenditure of funds from the existing capital improvement fee balance. I'd like to emphasize for the record that this is in not any way a new fee, but rather a balance from the capital improvement fee, which is part of the registration fee, which accumulated primarily due to shifting capital plans related to the Gateway project. This existing balance would be directed to two campus priorities. First, the majority of the funding will go to the installation of a new modular chiller plant, which services our chilled water line, providing cooling to 31 buildings. We'd like to move forward with this chiller now with the anticipation of having it operational by peak summer 2022 cooling demands. Our current chilled water loop is at its capacity. Likewise, this chiller will assist us with capacity as we develop the Gateway project, which we'll be discussing in the next agenda item. The second project proposed under this item is an upgrade of the university camera system. Our current system is 20 years old, and this upgrade is one of our top public safety priorities. If approved, this capital improvement fee funding of $500,000, combined with funding from a variety of other areas across campus, including residential life, the medical school, and university facilities, will complete what is expected to be a 1.5 to 1.75 upgrade project. So with that, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, the University of Nevada, Reno respectfully requests your approval of this agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Are there any questions regarding this agenda item? I will entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Regent McMichael, second by Chair Del Carlo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. Item 11, Mathewson University Gateway Public-Private Partnership Development Concept Phase 1 Update, UNR. President Sandoval.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. I really appreciate this opportunity to update you on a new campus initiative, and with your permission, also refer you to a slide deck, which is in all of your binders. That's what I will be referring to as I move through this presentation. So as you may recall, during the presidential search process last year, I indicated one of my priorities was the development of our Mathewson University Gateway area, including the much-needed College of Business space. Due to funding challenges in the pandemic, that project had been stalled, leaving our College of Business bursting at the seams in an unsightly barren zone between the university and the city of Reno. I'm very pleased and excited to bring to you today a promising path forward using a public-private partnership, P3 model, to not only obtain much-needed College of Business space, but also fully maximize the use of that parcel with complementary uses and potential revenue streams. So next move to slide 2 To orient you, this 2011 picture is facing north above the city and looking towards the university. I choose this picture because it highlights the divide only a block wide but significant both physically and psychologically between the university and downtown Reno. So one of the exciting outcomes of the project I'm discussing today is a way to overcome that divide and tie the city and the university together in a way that has never occurred before. My goal is to ensure the university is never accused of being a castle surrounded by a moat. And literally we have a irrigation ditch that surrounds the university, and it has been referred to as a moat. So also significant is in this picture is that it was taken during the midst of the Great Recession, a time of economic divides as well. And while coming out of that recession certainly impacted the long path to get this discussion today, a project such as this also provides opportunity for an economic bridge that will help stabilize both the city of Reno and the university moving forward. And as I talked to the city council a few short weeks ago, I stated that we really do, the city of Reno and the University of Nevada, Reno, have a shared destiny in this regard. So next, to move to slide three, a brief recap of how we got here. A significant evolution in higher education was already occurring in the early 2000s, and the Great Recession punctuated the incremental shift from the slow, steady, predictable, and can I say siloed higher education growth models of the past. One outcome that was born from that economic shock was the need for true collaboration, such as that which grew with the City of Reno and its development agency for a new vision developed in tandem with our community partners, and ultimately committed to writing during our last university planning process. This is when the concept of the university town, and I put that in quotes, theme came into being. And a major part of that focus was no longer could the focus just be on dedicated single-use educational developments behind a moat. The future demanded a more integrated approach with research, workforce development, and private sector involvement. The seeds were planted firmly in the ground, but took a while to germinate. So if we move to slide four. With credit to the diligence of former President Johnson and the UNR leadership team, the process continued. It was slowed in part due to the challenges of coming out of the Great Recession, but important foundational progress continued. This university town concept was formalized in the UNR master plan, which also adopted into the city's regional plan and remains today. The university town concept was embraced and clearly defined within the community and the city's quote, Vision 2020 mission and strategic priorities. We'll move to the next slide, please. University ownership of the Gateway District was now very much a strategic goal. A significant amount of effort engaging numerous private owners to assemble a contiguous building area continued, and I believe that's what Chair Del Carlo was referring to in the last agenda item. The final property transaction closed this year. These purchases were important acquisitions over the course of many years as they were put up for sale, purchased, and then made part of the university's residential rental program until the university was ready to move to the next step. This property acquisition first step simply could not have occurred without the partnership of the University of Nevada, Reno Foundation, and I'd like to thank them as well. So if we move to the next slide, please. Slide six. And during this time period, the campus evolved and grew as well. With almost a 20% growth in headcount and significant new facilities to accommodate that growth, the Gateway wasn't the only initiative occurring on campus during this time. Major projects on campus totaling $639 million were completed with only 20% funded by state appropriations. While those state appropriations were and continue to be a vital source of campus development that must be leveraged, I mention this in context of knowing that self-supporting construction models are going to be a significant part of the Gateway solution. Slide seven, please. There's another physical reality that the university faces, something that I like to refer to as a problem-tunity. The problem part, almost all of the available building locations within the traditional lower campus core are now built out. The opportunity part is now the why here part of the discussion. That is the focus of the next phases of the university construction in the Gateway District, which addresses this constraint of a landlocked urban campus. Next slide, please. I won't spend a lot of time on this slide, just recapping for the record the recent board approvals that brought us to this point, and I want to thank you all for that and want to specifically recognize the extreme generosity of Chuck and Stacy Mathewson, whose unwavering support of this vision provided the initial funding to move forward with property acquisition and planning. And as many of you know, Mr. Mathewson recently passed away, but this will be part of his legacy to UNR and Northern Nevada. So for those of you who haven't been on campus recently, our first project in the Gateway is quickly rising out of the ground. It's really, really something to see. The almost $41 million parking garage project on time and on budget, with a scheduled completion in the fall of the 2022 semester, provides the infrastructure anchor in the Gateway, both the parking to support the south end of UNR as well as the human access point across 9th Street. Also hidden in that bridge, and this is a really important component of that project, are most of the utility connections to campus. And I look forward to inviting you all for the ribbon cutting next fall. But we talked about that chiller and what it supplies for the campus. Well, that will connect under the bridge to the Gateway project. So I bring you all that information as a prelude, and I'd like to speak specifically about this initiative and our next steps. So one of our fastest growing colleges is also one of our most space constrained, the College of Business. Compounding this problem is that business education has changed significantly over the past decades, and besides being undersized, the current space does not readily support best practices in educating the business leaders of tomorrow. The next slide, please. Taking the College of Business from its current 31,000 square feet of dedicated space, an additional 50,000 square feet of shared space, to 125,000 of state-of-the-art tailor-made facilities will be significant. Now, I don't want to use the phrase game changer because the game has already changed and we need to catch up. Business education is different today than when the Ansari building was built in 1982, and I can personally attest to that as a economics minor, how excited we were in 1982 to have a new business building. And I assure you that building has not changed a bit since that time. So new facilities will allow us to compete in the modern game at a whole new level. These new facilities will also assist us in moving towards each of ENSHE's 5 goals in one of our highest demand colleges: contribute to access and closing the achievement gap by providing planned and coordinated space for delivery of academic advising, mentoring, and career counseling; enhance student success by providing learning spaces that make the use of best practices in pedagogy; enhance workforce development by giving students the opportunity to learn through direct use of current and relevant technology; facilitative advancement of our research mission by being a compelling draw for outstanding faculty and graduate students. So I hope you can see I'm really excited and enthusiastic about this project and the impact it'll have on our students in the community. If we move to the next slide. So for those of you that have been on the board for a while, I know what I'm telling you is old news. While the need is clear on this project, to be frank with you, the reality of paying for it has seen a number of challenges, not the least of which was the pandemic, which stalled fundraising. We spent a lot of time with our leadership team looking at other alternatives, and in this scale construction project, time is money. Construction inflation in Northern Nevada hovers around 5 to 6% a year, and that delay equals, again, real money, especially a project of this size. I really do want to give credit to Dean Greg Mosier of the College of Business. He's done an incredible job of fitting a large college into a small college space, but there is an urgency to relieve this bottleneck to growth. So I mentioned earlier the University Town Initiative and its significance to our planning process. And finally, we took a fundamental look at what were our strengths as an institution on a project like this, and we would be better off partnering with outside experts in property development, or would we try to decide to do it on our own? I think the answer to that was fairly obvious. If we'd move to the next slide. So I believe, and we believe, as we come before you today, that a P3 or public-private partnership is the solution. Briefly, a P3 is a catch-all term for something different than the traditional institution finance and construction model. We have a few examples in higher education and other areas of state government and building on that model. Just a little pun for all of you. I'm preparing to advance a variation of this type of partnership with feedback and input that we'd love to receive from all of you today. Specifically, we believe the path forward for the next major development in the Matthewson University Gateway will involve a close, intense relationship with a private partner expert in large-scale developments. So I'd like to summarize the business case for this. First, our entire buildable parcel, as shown on the previous slide, is about 2.21 acres. And while the needed College of Business space is significant, it will likely only occupy about 60% of that parcel. We intend to work with private sector development experts on ways to maximize the remaining space on the parcels in the way that can generate revenue. Revenue that we intend to use to offset the cost of College of Business space. So next slide, please. Specifically, through a national RFP solicitation, we'd partner with a master developer who would be responsible for building out the entire 2.21 acres. This would include the needed 125,000 square feet of business space to our, and I really want to emphasize to the university and our Board of Regents, all of you, our specifications. It would be done under a long-term ground lease for the land and sublease back for the business space. The university, and again, this is an important component, will retain ownership of the land at all times and will not incur any financing obligations. So the secret sauce of this relationship has a few important ingredients. First, the private developer who would use their experience, flexibility, and efficiency to build out the parcel. And I want to note for the record, we would retain all final say and control, and again, this is all of us, over the design and construction standards to ensure consistency with other buildings on campus and university construction standards. In fact, as you've seen in the reference material, the campus design and construction standards are part of your board packet and will be part of the RFP and ground lease. Second, as I mentioned before, this will not be financed by the university. This is important as it preserves limited UNR debt capacity for future construction that doesn't fit a mixed-use P3 model as well, such as what we are hoping for, the upcoming Gateway Life Sciences building. Third, we'll retain all of the naming rights for the entire development. This, combined with the opportunity to name the College of Business itself, will provide an even larger philanthropy opportunity than previous concepts. And finally, while many individuals have good ideas about how to best use that parcel, I'm excited about tapping into the expertise of a development partner who has a track record of experience in this area. We do a lot of things well at the university, but admittedly, we are not developers. So partnering with a regional or national firm who has expertise in this area is the pathway to maximizing this very desirable parcel in a way that is compatible with the university's mission. And I will, again, emphasize this is probably, and I'm a little biased, but I think it is one of the most, if not the most desirable parcels in all of Northern Nevada and particularly Reno. So next slide, please. The RFP we intend to launch. And specifically, what I'd like to gather all of your feedback on would have these basic parameters. An aggressive delivery deadline. I'd like to see this space available in the next 2.5 years. A complementary development that showcases the proper front door of the university. And again, this parcel faces right onto Interstate 80, and there are tens of thousands of vehicles that go by, and as you come up what is soon to be University Way, this will be the first thing that visitors will see. And also a mixed-use model that not only optimizes the revenue stream for the university, but is consistent with the university town concept that I discussed with you earlier. If you move to the next slide, please. So given the clock, and I know we have a lot of things on our agenda, I won't spend a lot of time on the last two slides. Our criteria for picking a partner quantifies the vision and goals we've been reviewing with you to ensure a project that makes us all proud. All of our normal contract parameters, including our commitment to supply chain diversity, will also apply to this project. And finally, we've got an aggressive timeline laid out to move this project forward, and our intent is to ultimately bring back to you, the board, next fall, a final agreement for your review. So on the last slide, as I stop here for questions, I do want to acknowledge the hard work of the team that has enabled us to get this initiative to the starting line, and that's where we are, is the starting line, and especially the contributions of the Chancellor's office, the Chancellor, Mr. Klinger, everybody else that that has been involved in this, and in particular, special thanks to Council Wixom for his professional expertise and guidance on preparing this RFP solicitation. So with that, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to address any questions or comments you may have on this initiative, and thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Are there any questions? Chair Del Carlo.
Thank you very much. I remember the meeting, I don't know if you were the president, I don't think you were the president yet, when we, as a board, decided not to increase the tuition on the students. And I know it was really, it was kind of heartbreaking for the dean of the business school, and I felt badly about it, but I just thought, you know, these are our students, we can't keep doing that. We've got to find other creative ways to finance these things. So I would add, the first question I would ask, is this the first P3 partnership at UNR?
Yes, and there are others probably, and if we have, there's nothing to this magnitude that we've had. And, you know, there's a reality to this. This is, you know, $120 million plus building, and there simply is not, I mean, I wish there were, but the philanthropy out there to offset the cost of that building. And so, you know, I am aware of that differential tuition proposal mm-hmm. that was made, and at the time, you know, that was the best effort in terms of putting together a package that could finance that building. But there's a new reality today. And frankly, this P3 model is not a novel one. It is something that is used across the country in many campuses. And as I said in my previous remarks, you know, we're not developers. Right. And this is a great opportunity for the city of Reno and our campus, and that's why I talked about that shared destiny, because it really can be a statement building both for the city but also for our students, and at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. So thank you, Chair.
Yes, and my other comment would be that, you know, one door closes, another opens. I mean, if we had approved that, you wouldn't be where you are today with this, and I think this is a much better way to go. I'm aware that this is the way other universities all over the country are doing so many wonderful things. So the fact, you're right, that's a very unique and special piece of property. I say that because my grandparents' home was on Lake Street that the freeway took in 1967. So it is the gateway. And what this is going to do is you're going to put this beautiful building up from the freeway that gets thousands of cars a day. And that's going to be, that's like the future of the university. You turn the corner and go up Center Street, you cross 9th Street, and then you've got the history, you've got the Morrill Hall, you've got Clark Administration. So I'm very excited about it. And I wasn't even on the board when I started reading about the whole concept of a university town, which Reno never had. This is my hometown, and I'm so proud that you're doing this. I know this was started before you became the president, but you love the university in Reno as much as I do. So I'm thrilled, and I can't wait to vote on it.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. And a lot of credit goes to those that preceded me and those that have got it to here. But I agree with you that, and I'll mention it in my, I guess I won't mention it anymore, I'll mention it now in my report, my university report, but the City Council did approve the change of the name from Center Street to University Way. And I just foresee as we approach our sesquicentennial, I can't think of a better way to kick that off with breaking ground on this building and having what I like to call the Silver Gate to the university that students enter and start their life's journey. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Thank you. Yes, Regent Moran.
Yes, if I may. Just a couple of quick remarks. And, you know, it's interesting. I've had an opportunity in the last year or so to kind of make these spot checks on different campuses. And it seems like all of our chief executives, all of our institutional presidents are really looking at the limited amount of property that's available for future development. And you said, Governor, that you guys aren't developers, but you've been involved in so many projects, as has all of our other institutional presidents. And to be really thinking, again, outside the box, creatively, in terms of the utilization of what you have, in my opinion, is fabulous. And to create this link, I agree with you. You know, there's a lot of traffic that moves by that particular corridor. And to be able to have a billboard out there that says we are in business, and we are the University of Nevada, Reno, and this is how we do things in this particular state, is great. Polling students on campus with regards to the current projects that you guys are pushing forward, again, site circulation, access, ingress, egress, are you creating any prohibitions to their easy access to classrooms and parking and stuff like that to make their experience even better? I've just gotten phenomenal remarks back and great constructive remarks back with regards to what you were doing there and how President Johnson's kind of passing along the torch to you and then you kind of following through with his initiatives and then obviously utilizing your unique skills to better these particular projects. I'm really excited to see this P3 project move forward at UNR, and I think we have other ones in the state that are also moving forward at other campuses and other institutions. And so it's a really, really great way to finance these projects. But it's a very difficult job because what you're essentially doing is you're spot zoning and you're trying to take a limited area, an island, and go in there and then try to get new buildings to fit with the old and creating kind of an aesthetic perception that's pleasing. And I will tell you, to make a long story even longer, I think that you've really done some great stuff with creating that pleasant aesthetic perception, and it certainly has come together on that particular campus. The compatibility, the consistency, it's harmonious with the uses and the mixed-use component. It's really great. I mean, I applaud what you're doing there, Governor, and I appreciate it. And those are my remarks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Moran. Chancellor Rose.
Thank you very much, Chair. And for the record, Melody Rose, just wanted to offer my support and commend President Sandoval for this tremendous vision and opportunity and how you have pursued the P3 model. You all know that many of us were on an innovation field trip earlier this week to our neighbors in Arizona, and one of the many lessons that we returned home with is the absolute imperative that higher education, in order to move forward and thrive and have the resources it requires, do everything in partnership. And I think that this is a great example of that imperative, and I really thank you for carrying that vision forward. For including the professionals in my office to help you, support you, and move the project forward. And I think these are the conversations that we will be having in the months and years to come with other institutions within our system. And it's just a very exciting moment. We used to think of P3 opportunities in higher education, you know, two decades ago as is an economic imperative. And while that may be, it's so much more than that, because the opportunity to partner can be very much additive for the faculty experience as well as the student experience in bringing additional resources for their use. So I think we've come to a place in the industry where this is not just an imperative, but it is a model to embrace for the betterment of the whole community. So thank you, President.
Thank you for those remarks, Chancellor. And thank you, President Sandoval, for bringing this project forward. I think P3s are the future, and like the Chancellor mentioned, this economic driver and this partnership with private industry is really the future of education in many ways. And I'm very excited to see where we go with this project. And I have to give a little bit of props to the generous foundation that has financed the building for the UNLV Med School. I mean, that's a phenomenal P3 partnership that is just remarkable for our future in Nevada, and I'm sure that this one will be as wonderful as that one. So thank you. Okay, so moving on to item number 12, new business. Is there any new business for this committee? Nope. Item 13, public comment. Any public comment in ELCO?
No public comment in ELCO.
Thank you. Public comment in Reno?
If there is none in Reno.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? Any written public comment, Angela? No. Thank you. All right. That being the end of this meeting, I will call it adjourned at 11:03. Thank you.